up in distance, quicker ground, job done. Yeah. Was it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I rode him at Ascot when the ground was very soft, and he just felt like he was completely at sea on it, really struggled to get himself organised. And, you know, to be fair as well, it was his first run back of the year, and he's a big horse. But I was very, very keen to see sort of back on faster ground, that he just would get back to what he showed he was capable of last year at York when he won his maiden. And obviously it worked out beautifully there. I was able to get a nice toe into it. The only thing I wouldn't have minded was if they'd have just stayed over by the fence and just kept him a bit more given him a bit more company, because I think that element of greenness is still there in him. And when he got a bit lonely, he wasn't really doing a lot that last furlong.
I mean, forerunner races, they can be strange races. Strange things can happen out there, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, it's difficult to judge who's going to go forward and things like that. But to be fair, all of it went to plan on the way around. Just that last couple of furlongs could have been helped.
So he's qualified for the Ebor now, gets an automatic place. And no doubt that nice Yorkshireman in exile, W. Haggis, will want to run. And I presume you'd agree with that, because that's a mile and six. That's the Ebor trip he's gone over today.
Yeah, look, it should suit him perfectly. You know, there's a good while to go until the Ebor, though. Whether what he does in the meantime sort of scuppers his Ebor plan or trip, or whether that's what Mr. Luter or William want to do, you know, that's another thing altogether. So I'll leave that in their very capable hands. And if he were to end up in the Ebor, I think I'd be looking forward to riding him.